Lower your expectations. Season 3, it's a hockey podcast with Lance, Coach, and Randall. Hello and welcome to the Youth Hockey Podcast, episode 26. And I just got an email, gentlemen, and it's probably the scariest email you'll ever find that hits your inbox. And I just want to share it with you. Is that okay at the right off the top?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Please.
Has a lot to do with hockey. Okay. This is from Spirit Airlines. It's asking me if I want to pay to select my seats. What do you think, gentlemen? Should I pay to select my seats, or should I just let it roll? Like, you know, gamble. Hope they still give me a seat.
Well, who are you going with?
Spirit. I mean, there's only one airline in the world.
But I mean, are you traveling with someone else?
Oh, yeah. I'm traveling with my hockey son to Denver, Colorado. I don't want anyone else to book the flight, so I'm not going to tell you when. But by the time this airs, I'm guessing I'm safe.
So this is them asking you, do you want to pay for a ticket or
no, for the seat?
Oh, Raleigh. You can tell Raleigh's like highbrow now. Exactly. Raleigh lives up in the Hollywood Hills, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't think of things like we do down here on the ground floor.
Since you brought it up, yeah. I do refer to people that don't live where I live as Flatlanders, but go ahead. Feel free to go ahead.
Anyway, there's this well-known airline, national airline called Spirit. And when you book your flight, they don't give you a seat. They don't give you a lap belt. They don't give you a snack and or drink. Everything is a la carte from the moment
you got to bring your own seatbelt now.
You cannot bring a rolly. You know, like the rolly dudes that they allow you on every other plane to bring on?
Mm-hmm.
$80.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, Spirit is great for the person that travels with something they can stow under their seat.
Exactly. And I do. I have a backpack. I'm used to it. Spirit is what keeps the kind of mid-range hockey parent from going crazy, because I can tell you this too. A round trip ticket to Denver, Colorado. Would you like to guess what the round trip ticket cost was?
On Spirit?
To Denver.
Spirit.
On Spirit is probably like Denver. $50.
$57 round trip. So it was $114 for me and my son to go back and forth to Denver. And then to take his hockey bag was another...
$60 each way,
$80 total. So $40 each way. So $57.
Yep. Randy, I have a question for you.
Yes,
with
sir.
The 57, how much extra do they charge for a pilot?
Well, I don't know. We'll wait and see. I'll be
Spirit
here.
Where, yeah, they had. It's like they don't give you the price. If you were like to book a Spirit flight. Through like Expedia, you go through the whole thing and you're like, well, this is I know Spirit's, going to be a no frills type of trip, but I like this
experience,
price.
Yeah.
And then you go and it's like, well, let me prepay for my bag. So I know what it's going to cost me. Oh that's not possible. The fact that they can extort $80. Are you saying it's $80 one way?
No. $40 each way, but it's
okay.
Only
$27
each way. Yeah, but it's only $27 each way for me and my son, and it is an extra $40 for my son to have a hockey bag.
Right. Which, when you really look at it, probably makes it closer to what it cost on some of the other flights.
Oh, not even close. No, not even close. It was $300 for a round trip for Delta, and it was $57.
There's every airline has some tickets that are lower cost.
When I was looking,
because I've played 300... this game with Spirit before where it's like, oh, well, it's this much less. But I know I'm going to have to pay for baggage. And they actually get away with, on this flight, it's going to cost you $60 for a bag.
Wow.
One way. And you're like,
well, that's what I meant. Like, that's what I said.
Why don't you just have one price?
The most terrifying email you can get, and you know you really have done something wrong with your life, if you get an email from Spirit Airlines asking if you want to buy a seat, because you know you've made a series of bad choices.
Let me ask you, Randy,
Yes.
Is there anything better than Spirit Detroit?
Oh, I just went to Detroit on Spirit. I am part of the Spirit Fairs Club, so you know exactly what I think of Spirit. Spirit Detroit were some of the deals. Yeah, we did. That's what $40 is. I'm guessing it was more if we didn't. Yes, we got some deal for our bag.
That explains it.
Yeah. So anyway, in Spirit Detroit, there was a lady that was screaming at one of the customers who tried to get their kid on a flight. And the kid was probably over two, but he said it was younger than two. And they were yelling at each other. I mean, like full blown yelling at each other. Sometimes like, you know, sometimes like where they'd be like, he wanted everyone to hear. It was like, right. You blank, blank and blank, you're blank. And he's like, well, I better get a refund because that blank and blank back there was blank and my blank blank. And then it would be like, you can blank, you're blanking. And then of course, security gets called. And I believe they should just have security Spirit at all times. But security gets called and the lady beside me, you know, I try to like, you know, lighten the mood. And I'm like, yeah, well, I guess it's just Spirit Airlines. And she is ready to launch at the guy taking the bags. And she's like, well, I'm not letting that blank over there take my bag. And I'm like, blank? By the way, the blank that I'm sitting here is the word retard. The first sentence she said to me in my life was, she obviously wanted to open up and let me know. But she called somebody behind the counter retarded. And in California, that is like, you know, drop the gloves.
Yeah, it used to be a commonly used phrase, but now it's
I know, but you
very
can't
much
call them.
Been considered.
Well, in Detroit, it is still considered a viable way to be angry at somebody. LA styles, there's no way you're getting away with that sentence. But this lady, like I said, you know, I was like, oh, well, hopefully they'll get it all worked out. Well, I'm not letting that blank over there touch my bag. And I'm like, okay, ma'am. Okay.
You're glad you engaged.
Like, right.
With, your fellow passengers. Yes,
I thought I was just breaking the ice and, you know, like, hey, let's all make this kind of fun together. And no, there was no fun to be had at the Spirit desk. People who take Spirit Airlines, you are all a rugged crew and I'm one of you. So thank you for doing it with me. But if you go to Detroit, be ready for some theater, a dinner and a show. You don't have to pay extra for the show. Dinner is like $10.95 for a snack box.
I mean, Detroit's got a lot of people coming through there.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite a destination there.
It is a destination.
That and Chicago. Man, Chicago.
Well, I got to tell you, the Little Caesars team that we played up in Detroit, very good, though. You know, as far as hockey.
Yeah, Little Caesars got a good.
Oh, yeah.
One of the, you know, we got to talk about that sometime. The teams that subsidized their players.
Yeah, Bell Tire up there and Little Caesars. A terrible pizza, good hockey. That's the way. If I had a bumper sticker, I'd be like Little Caesars. Terrible pizza, good hockey.
Right.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Anyway, this is all me, you know, I don't mean to like, you know, tell you about all of my travel woes and things like that. Anybody that travels for hockey knows that it's a mixed bag and that, you know, things get lost and it's hard to get everybody there on time. And you have to show up a day early in order to be ready to play. And it's a ridiculous kind of thing that you have to go through.
Don't you love, though, when there's a trip and you get we don't have the schedule yet.
Oh, of course. Why would they have the schedule?
Well, then what day do we need to be there? Thursday night? Are we going to play Friday morning? Like, we don't even know if we're going to play Friday, but we might.
I think in the hockey world, it's just called a pick six kind of thing. It's like, whatever. You never know what's going to happen. You just get there on Wednesday and stay until the next Tuesday and you're safe.
Right. Yeah. I love that.
Like, yeah.
It's never occurred to anybody that maybe we should actually commit to a schedule in advance so that people can make travel arrangements that are coming in. That would be too much, I guess.
Can I bare my soul here? I wasn't going to do this, but can I just let one thing out?
Sure.
Sure.
This is the purpose of this podcast.
Oh my God. Okay. So my son's team is going, and by the time this airs, he will have gone, is going to Colorado, and they're playing the team that that we play in our home state, right? They have the same rink. They're playing West Ranch hockey.
Oh, that's
and they're
the
playing
best.
Oh, we could play them every day, David. We could play them any day of the week. We could call West Ranch right now. I could open the window and yell out the door, anybody from West Ranch want to play? And if someone yelled back, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. And I'm going to Colorado to play them. We're playing an Orange County team, OC Hockey, in Denver. Oh, my God.
Reminds me of Silver Sticks.
Remember
that?
No,
prestigious Silver Sticks regional tournament. Wait. We're going. It's the same three teams we play in LA.
I know. But wait. There's one more. And the other team that's in our division was an A team playing up that's ranked 350 slots below us.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God. And then there's one team that we don't know. So we'll probably lose. The wild card will just be enough to take us out of the pennant race. I can already guarantee you that. It's going to be where we play all these same teams.
Yeah, so here's the team you don't know.
And then some friggin' wild card's going to come in, take away the banner, and then we'll go home.
Right. Here is we're playing ALQR. What is that? I know I can't figure it out. It's some team.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of kids from Alaska that grew up on a pond. Since they were one, they play together on a team and they come down and shellack everybody by 20 goals.
Yeah. And also humiliate you in front of your family and girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah. That feels great. Anyway, Dave, it took me too long to introduce your topic and your thing. I think it's a very valuable one, especially if you've ever been a little bit concerned about statistics. If you've ever looked at the stats and thought to yourself, I wonder what's going on there. Listen to Dave Ralston here, and I think you'll have a much better understanding of what goes on in youth hockey. Please take it away.
We'll get to that next week, if only we had enough time. But thank you and good night. I think to preface this too, there's always this question about numbers in general, and get to a certain point. And I do think that we've talked about this before. There's a fine line between sort of being laissez-faire about statistics and, the points that your kid may or may not be getting credit for. I think I've had some of my most discouraging hockey experiences over things where my kid did score, a goal or two here or there and just didn't get credit for them, which I still to this day can I just can't justify, like, why it's a goal, like, how do you give it to somebody who wasn't even on the ice? Like, that's just not record keeping or whatever. And you're sort of encouraged to just say, well, that's just hockey. Sometimes the numbers won't be right, and but then as your kid matriculates up, eventually there's a point where maybe your kid wants to go to a particular team, and now we've got these websites out there that have all these statistics and everything, and it's not surprising when coaches might look up your son or daughter's statistics to see what is this, is your kid good at putting pucks in the net, do they produce a lot of points, when the information's out there, it would be nice if it was accurate. So it sort of leads to the question of, are some organizations proactive about this? Do they care? Are they good at it? Do they correct things? Are they interested in maybe making sure that the team overall looks good points-wise? So it was brought to my attention by
Coach, are they perhaps getting a few extra, juicing a few extra points out of the system? I'll let people decide.
Let's just let people decide.
You're being very nice.
Let's let people decide for themselves here.
You're right.
So
but to make the point though too, because I don't know if we've talked about this or not, but I can't tell you how many times people have told me, like when they make a mistake in the scoring, like, don't be that dad.
Right.
And you know, it's all about development. Points don't matter. And then the very next year, coach is like, well, you know, look at the points your son scored. He's not where he should be. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You told me points don't matter.
Yeah. Do you want me to bring up the six goals that my kid was not credited for?
Exactly.
I've got five of them on video for you here. Should we go back? But anyway.
Exactly. I don't care what they say. Points matter.
I think and it probably matters to your kid. I mean, there's nothing like talk about being discouraging. Like, hey, that amazing goal that you scored that was huge for our team. Oh,
I would say this.
Get credit for that. That's sorry. Well, you know, don't worry about it, Billy. Just get back on the ice. It's okay that you got screwed out of your goal.
Here's my attitude: is the day points
Lance,
no longer
back up from the mic. Back up from the mic just a little bit, Lance.
Points don't matter for me is the day they stop tracking points.
Right. Right.
Then they don't matter.
Swedish style, before the age of 16. then I don't care if you didn't get my kid's six goals that he scored that he didn't get credit for. But anyway, I'm not pulling that number out of anything from my own personal experience, you know. But anyway, somebody brought it to my attention that a industrious individual who has access to all the points in a particular league might be here in California. Probably, you know, I'd love to actually credit these people, but you know, I didn't talk to them about bringing this up, but it was brought to my attention. So I didn't come up with this, but anyway, they crunched the numbers to find out how many points per goal were actually allocated, you know, and they were able to do this by going through and getting all the points for all the players and getting their totals for each team, segmenting them by team, and then getting all the goals that were scored, because they've got that, you know, from all the scoring sheets, they know exactly how many goals were scored per team.
Right. So every goal that went in has a certain number of points, because there's like, there can be up to two assists and one goal. So that would be 3 points.
Right.
The most that can possibly be awarded on a goal is 3 points.
Right.
The least is 1 point, because that's just the goal score, right?
So, exactly.
If there are no assists, 1 point. If there are two assists, 3 points. And there are some teams that do better at getting more points per goal.
Right.
And that is what the analysis was. And by the way, it is fascinating stuff.
There was a team that, since you bring this up, apparently has never had an assist, because they have a one point average. Somehow
1.1?
Which
team is that?
I'll tell you.
Is this the rain? Is the rain?
No. Interesting you bring that up. But anyway, so they did this number crunching, and now I don't know if I want to say. Let's start by not actually saying teams. Let's just start by saying.
Come on, please let me say the names.
Well,
it'll
be more fun. We can get to that. So
okay.
Let's start off with.
Yeah, I get it. This is the beginning of the date, right?
Yeah.
We have to be nice.
Start with an age group, and but we'll go up from 14U to all the way to
18U?
I have a snapshot of this, so there's a couple different years here that I guess.
But it's all AAA too. Is that correct? This is all AAA regression.
I believe so. Yeah.
Analysis.
AAA.
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard.
Let's look at like 16U, and let's say that we got a team called the Apples, and then we've got a team called the Bananas and a team called the Oranges. Let's start with those three. So the Apple team, their average was 1.7 points for the season
per goal. 1.7 points were awarded for every goal that went in,
exactly, for that team. So you know, pretty close to at least a goal and an assist for every play. Then the next team down, 1.3. The next team, another team also 1.3, and another team 1.2, and then a 1.1, and this incredible one team that I guess every kid just unassisted scores every goal for them somehow. Like,
well, if it's the rain, maybe they only have like two or three goals anyway. I mean, let's be honest. If it's the rain, that is possible.
Well, yes, but I mean, okay, but again, even if it's 10 goals.
Well, let me look.
I don't care if you only scored 10 goals.
I'm going to look at the Reign 15 they were all AAA 10 and see how many goals they've scored this year. Go ahead. I'm doing some research.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, that shouldn't change the average that, you know, why are the score sheets apparently never seeing a pass made for a primary assist on for this team, I guess. So anyway, another age group, 1.8. You know,
this is the apples again. The apples. You've got to, and if you are in the Southern California area, you've got to know what the apples are by now. If you haven't figured it out, email
well,
me.
We can make this
podcast at gmail.com.
We can make this fun for yeah. maybe a guessing game.
Are they the apples or the dapples?
We don't know. Let's leave that for the end, and you know, yeah. then we can make a little game out of it.
There
but anyway, yeah, I'll tell you the scores, and you guys can tell me what team you think it is. So anyway, the next team down, 1.4, a pretty big difference there between
each time. It's a jump. Yeah,
and then 1.2, 1.3. So all the other teams sort of in the same general quadrant of score allocation. And then 1.7 for the apples again, 1.4, 1.4, you know, so a bit of a pattern here. So do we want to just go right to the you guys guess? Let's say I guess this is
guessing the Kings are 1.4.
Let me guess this is 14U, but like I think okay. I don't quite have this it's cut off here. Let me see if I okay. So let's say maybe 16U or 14U team 1.8 in 14U. Who are the apples?
Well, Lance played for the apples. He's got to know.
Well, I played for every team, so it could be.
That's true.
Well, if you want to guess, Lance,
I'm going to let Randy guess because I know
he's. I'm going to guess it's the Sharks because that Sharks team is constantly, they berate the poor refs to get extra points every time.
Right. No, that's incorrect.
That's
too bad. We'll just leave that a mystery. But next number down, 1.5.
That's the Kings. It's got to be the Kings.
That's the Sharks.
Really? The Sharks do berate people to get the points.
Was that a joke by Randy or was he serious?
No, I was joking. I know nothing about the Sharks and their coaches.
Here's 1.3.
That's got to be the Kings then, right? Because you can't.
Ice Dogs
are 1.3. Where do the Kings get in here?
Well, 1.2. Two teams tied.
Kings coaches need to get out there and start lobbying for their players, guys.
That's surprising.
The way the Ducks do. They got to do it the way the Ducks do by going out there and just, you know, just scrambling for points on every goal.
Well, maybe this tells you something organizationally because I'm going to go to another year, 16U, Kings, 1.2. Another year, 18U, Kings, 1.2. Another year, different age group. Same year as previous Kings, this Kings team 1.4, so a little bit more points there.
I was wondering, Raleigh, do you think this was done on just the league games that they play, so just in California? Because I bet when they leave the state, the numbers probably even out a little bit more. You know what I mean?
I'm guessing
that the minute you hit Minnesota,
I do not
the
think,
Ducks
I think
would
these
not
numbers,
be able to like beg for points.
No, but I think like these numbers were provided were across the board. I could be wrong, but I think that again,
it would be interesting to know if first of all, it would be interesting to know, like at a tournament, like in Blaine, what the average number of goals and assists were for every team, right? So that you knew, you know, what kind of control would be. But I would be willing to guess that the only way the numbers would be so different would be if they're just talking about California hockey, because the minute they go back east, I don't think they can control the product as much.
So, well, that's true. Although although it is possible. I mean, again, these are averages. So yeah, it could be that, you know.
But the averages of the Ducks are consistently higher than all of the other teams.
Well, so you kind of let the cat out of the bag there. But yes, it just so happens that when we talked about the 1.7 team, that was the Ducks.
Yeah.
The 1.8 was the Ducks. The 1.7 was the Ducks.
Yeah.
Another 1.8 was the Ducks. So the Ducks are clearly emphasizing somehow point allocation to their players.
And I wonder how many people actually think, you know, because you know how important it is to have your players have points. I wonder how many people actually, like, you know, from the management level even think about this idea, you know, like, should we be doing more to make certain that all points are allocated? And that's the nice way of putting it, you know, not
this is what's so interesting about this, because I think you could make the argument that and possibly what this was pointing out was, well, there's some kind of an inflation going on here, but maybe it's not inflation at all. Maybe it's the opposite of that. Maybe it's just the referees that are being employed in that area emphasizing that we need to get points recorded and with the scorekeeping and everything for these goals for this, you know, for this organization, which is interesting in itself, because the refs are supposed to be you know, a neutral,
yeah, impartial, yet, yeah, but we
how
all
are they
that.
Neutral or impartial if they are somehow in on this idea that we got to get more points recorded
to our players.
The other thing it brings up is that you know, I like, especially in the early years, was sort of like much more laissez-faire about, well, it doesn't matter if the, you know, who can be blamed if goals are given to the wrong kid and kids don't get the points that they actually earned.
Is laissez-faire French for pissed off, or?
The laissez-faire economy you know, live.
Okay. The opposite. I gotcha. I'm with you.
But anyway, don't want to be gauche and make a stink about this. It shows you're a poor sport or something like that. And yet the reality is that the managers can fix these score sheets and can allocate numbers. And, you know, there's been some discussion of certain marquee players and certain coaches wanting to make sure that those marquee players put up very good numbers because they had a investment in those players that are getting to higher levels of hockey. And this is one way to ensure that they do that, is to make sure that they're getting lots of points, even to the point that some people were like, these kids probably got more points than they deserve because somehow they got assists on plays that they weren't even involved with and what have you. So I don't know how much that went into the fixing of the score sheets in those circumstances. But again, people that may not know this, that it is possible in most jurisdictions, as far as I know, to correct a score sheet that is wrong. It could be, hey, a kid who was given a penalty what they didn't even get, that could then, you know, increase their penalty minute numbers to the point that they got a suspension. I mean, that might be a kind of absurd.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that, though, Dave, is that because I did scoring when I was – I did some scoring for the Valencia team when we played there, did some scoring at the Maple Leafs, scoring at the Bears and the Ducks. And the surprising thing I have is that – from my experience, it was rare to see an unassisted goal. And so the fact that the averages are below two kind of blows me away. You know what I mean? Because like I said, there'd be 7-10 goals in a game, and there would always be at least one assist. Maybe one of the 10 goals had one.
It's possible that in the context of this, I'm missing a piece. And what these numbers really are the number of assists.
Yeah, it could be 1.8 assists. That's exactly right.
That could very well be the case, because I don't see how a team for a whole year could have one. So maybe my entire pretext is wrong here. But even if it's assists, it's still a lot. You make a great point, though, Lance.
There's a big gap, though. That's a huge gap.
that I have the context wrong, but the general idea is the same. Like if, whether it's just assists, if it's just assists, then, you know, on average, a certain team's making sure that a lot more assists are being allocated potentially, or they're getting it right. Who knows? You know, that's sort of the question here.
Well, and I think another thing that you've kind of brought up that you've opened the door to is the idea that correcting a score sheet shouldn't be a pain in the ass. I mean, because I've had managers where they've been like, oh, I didn't know who scored that. And, you know, let's not worry about correcting the score sheet because, you know, it's
right.
They treat you like you're a pain in the ass. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not a pain in the ass. Well, maybe I am. But, you know, I think you should open up that door at the beginning of the year and say, what I want from my manager is that if the score sheet is wrong, that they will change it. Now,
like to have transparency because the reality is that who even knows? I mean,
well, that's true. That's true. That's true.
You know, I had more visibility than some people in the years that I coached because I could actually see the score sheet. And a few times I got copies of it. But for the average person, you have no idea. And then it's only that you find out later that your kid didn't get credit because you never saw the score sheet in the first place. There's no transparency. It's not being shared amongst the team. And so
let's have those stats out in the open so that people can actually see, you know, if their kid is getting credited and if certain groups of kids are getting credited more often than others and certain teams are getting credited more often than others.
If somehow a kid has more points than the team scored goals, then maybe
we always go back to that one. There's one kid that had more assists than his entire line. You counted up all the kids on his line and all the PowerPoint and all the, you know, because we didn't score that much that year. And this kid had more assists than all of it. And we're like, how?
Yeah, you know, somehow the math did not equal on that one.
Right.
It might be new math. I don't know.
It might have been. I love that kid though, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I couldn't. I wasn't really mad about it that year.
No,
like you said, that team was a struggle.
Oh my goodness. I think
and our kids played up, which is part of the
Of
the problem.
And we talked about that last week. We shouldn't have had our kids play up, is what we should have done.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yes, I think the idea that that stats are somehow some kind of unholy thing to talk about or some gauche or some kind of like you're crossing a line when you want to talk about your kids' stats. That's fine as long as they feel the same way about all the kids' stats, you know, and the coaches feel the same way about the stats and your kid won't be denied opportunities because they got it wrong. If that's all true, if you want to, like you said, in Sweden, they don't even keep stats, right?
Not until I think 16U.
Saying is if you want to douse all of the stats until 16U, I'd get on board with that. I don't have a problem with any of it. But if you're going to keep them correct and keep them transparent so that parents can have some kind of idea what's going on. Because you don't want to make a joke out of it.
This is where we have like this imperfect world. Where we are proposing something that makes a lot of sense, would remove a level of
stress,
dissatisfaction, and unhappiness that exists, and yet it doesn't. This thing isn't done anywhere that I know of. I've never seen or experienced or been a part of a team where there was any kind of transparency at all.
Well, you're a computer genius, right, Raleigh? That is your title. It's on your card.
I don't know if I'm a genius, but
there we go. No, you're very good. That's what I'm saying. You could write a program that kept all of the stats from all of the games visible, and so everyone could see what they were. From every score sheet, if you had 100 years and $1 million, right?
Yeah, well, they have some of these systems already. It just very much depends on the game and where you're playing, who you're playing. You see some of this like through My Hockey Rankings. They've got you know, you go in there and you'll see a game from time to time. There'll be like a score sheet that you can just click on and you can see the actual score sheet.
Yeah, that's what
I found out that, you know, a week ago, I think my son, it was a very close game and the team was behind. They came back and my son scored a tying goal with like 3 minutes left. And the score sheet was available and I looked up and another kid got the credit for the goal.
One kid got six goals in one game.
I want to be clear about this particular year the coach is really I think it's the first time I've ever experienced where, you know, I'm not involved in it day to day, but my son, you know, has told me like the coach has fixed errors for on his behalf this year, which has never happened to him ever in his whole career. So you know, I don't want to say that, but that's what transparency offers. I don't know what could have been done about this. I'm not going to quibble over one goal. Went to his line mate, so be it. Maybe he got credit for one he didn't deserve. Who knows? I don't mind about a point here or there as a wash, but I think there, you know, for most people, there isn't transparency. It can be really bad. There's things that just happen too, like some, you know, your kid plays on a line, let's say, with some other kid with a similar number, and for some reason in those circumstances it often ends badly, or your kid has a number close to some other kid who's puts up a lot of points, and then just it just seems like that kid gets even more points because he gets credit for your kid's points. I think that definitely happened to my kid one year.
These kids are sponging off of your kid, damn it.
They're just getting that. No, they're getting tons of goals, and then they're getting five more goals that they didn't score because their number was one, you know, two digits transposed from my kid's number. And to my kid, it might've made a really big difference to have those five goals that credited to him. And that particular year to feel better about his performance, but he didn't get them. So, you know, I can understand why these mistakes happen. I just think that there could be, some acknowledgement that this is important, like Lance was saying, especially as your kid gets older, it can affect their, you know, conversations with coaches for places that they might want to be recruited to or go to. You try and get the points right, and this should start, you know, at the point that you at the in the place where you're keeping track of points, and have systems that do this and have transparency and have systems built in where these things can be fixed by the team.
Just so we can get Lance into the conversation. I was trying to think of an angle that we get Lance into the conversation. Lance, how many times did one of your kids lead the league in stats?
Lead the entire league?
They lead the entire league. Just, yeah, yeah. Can you remember back to how many times your kid led the league in stats?
I'm going to say, if I remember correctly, I'm going to say probably rare, but now his team is a different story.
No, but I'm talking about your kid.
Chris, once or twice, Chris, right? Was one of the, you know, always up in the top few scorers for a number of years
in the league
in California.
Yes, but was he ever like number one?
I don't think he's ever been number one, no.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just trying to find a way. I was trying to find a crease there that we could bring Lance in, because you notice how Lance is like really silent when we're talking about stats. He's like, yeah, my kid got plenty.
Well, here's my take on it. You want to hear my take? Because you know my kids play juniors, right? And I just love the way that junior hockey is set up, even at the lowest level of juniors to the highest level of junior. If you're going to have a junior level team, you have to have cameras and broadcast every single game live. And so I love that. So whether your kid's on the road or at home, whatever, you're always going to be able to watch those games. And I think parents would pay for that. Back in the old days when the boys were younger, I would pay to have that and have that ability after maybe my kid had a great game, come home, go to hockey TV and watch a tape of the game. I think that at the lowest levels of youth hockey to the highest levels, every rink should be required to provide that service. And I think there's very few parents who wouldn't pay a little extra dues to have that available to them, you know? And then, because in the junior league too, they have people that go in and watch, go back and just flip through the game and make sure that the assists are right. There's been multiple times where my kid scored a goal and the official score key or the official score sheet at the end of the game that was online posted did not give him credit where he deserved. And 3 days later, it was corrected because somebody goes in and verifies all the goals, all the assists. It's not the coach or the club itself that's trying maybe to promote a player.
It depends on what you want to pay for. Cause I can just, you know, I know there's probably tons of people listening going, here goes the California guys with their pie in the sky, you know, the rink should provide all this stuff. It's like, who's going to pay for that? That's what they're thinking. So, my point is people are already paying. You're already paying all this money for your kid to play hockey. If it's possible to do this, then the clubs can have, they're the ones that are incented to make sure it's right. So I we're not talking about like the thing where it's like, nobody's quite sure who scored. I mean, I think when it's very clear, it takes two, you know, you can basically just make sure that I think it behooves the team to make sure that their own points were allocated correctly and that you don't give, you know, take a goal away from a kid. Right. And it's not going to require every game to be videotaped and then to look back, because I gotta say, sometimes it's hard to tell watching on video exactly what happened. You know, I can tell watching a video, you know, what I can pick my kid out, but some of them, you know, you're going, what exactly happened there? Who passed that puck? I can't quite see from that angle. You know, it's not easy to tell all the time.
Well, maybe technology will come in and save us all from this, and we'll have realistic 3D modeling of everyone's scope playing.
They don't even need that in the future. Like every person's going to have a chip implanted in them.
Yeah, exactly.
And the chips will triangulate everyone, and they'll know that puck that has the chip in it was shot by
by this
number
guy
23
this stick. It touched this stick.
And right. And they won't be playing. It'll be their bionic twins. Or the
clones. Yeah. There won't be any people out there, but they'll have a great time.
The kids will be controlling it from a PS5
remote location. We all know. Yeah. Remote control. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you for that. I do think that a lot of people have concerns about, you know, the way different teams look for, you know, and promote their own kids and whether it's authentic, the way points are allocated. And I know we don't have the answer in this half hour, but I do think that it is worthwhile to bring up that the actual numbers are all over the board and they're, you know, they sound fairly significant to me when you're talking about them. So I'm willing to look at clubs and say, you know, maybe everyone should have around the same number of assists because I'm guessing the kids aren't that different from one club to the next, but who knows? Anyway, if you would like to sound off, say anything to Lance, David, or myself about youth hockey, please email us at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Is there any final salvo you'd like to launch, Lance?
Sure. You know what? We never do this, but I got to, for my favorite home team here, I got to give a shout out to the Los Angeles Kings, Adrian Kempe. If anyone's been following him, he
scored
two goals the other day. Then the game after that, he's the first Los Angeles King in history to score four straight goals in a single game. And just now I'm watching in the background the game. He just scored a shorthanded goal. So in three games, seven goals, not too shabby for an NHL player.
Well, you know, it's also like a changing of the guard, I believe, in that wasn't last year the first year where there was a player other than Anze Kopitar who led the team in scoring. That was Kempe. So it's kind of interesting to see. I've been saying this for a couple of years now. The Kings are a team that you should be scared of, Because even through their injuries, I like this team was supposed to be in full rebuild. You know, it was like we're down with these huge contracts, got tons of money invested in Kopi. You know, Brown retired, but Kopi and Quick and Doughty. And so this team's not supposed to be any good. And they got a bunch of young players. And man, they're right there. Are they still second or third in the Pacific, I believe? And
well, they are. They have second place. It has 65 points, and they have 65 points. There's a three-way tie for second with 65 points, and first place is 68 points. So it's yeah. It's a
so
dogfight.
I mean, they're right in the mix of this, and I would not bet against them. It's a good team. It's a deep team. They've got a lot of talent. Kings a fun team to watch play hockey right now, and Kempe is a great player. You know, if you're sleeping on Adrian Kempe, you don't follow NHL hockey. This is a marquee player, exceedingly fast, and just turned into a real sniper now.
Yeah, incredible. And not McKinnon and the Avalanche, but you know.
Yeah, hey, well, they're having some problems this year.
Alexander either, sniping from any place on the ice. That kid I would watch for as well. Kempe, whatever. Alexander, I'm still putting a lot of chips in that basket.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate that.
Well, thank you both gentlemen for joining me here tonight. And as the hockey season winds down, we are really close to like start talking about spring. Give yourself one last big pat on the back, hockey families. You made it through, or you're very close to making it through. Give that one last inspirational speech to your little skater or skatee, and go off into the playoffs or into the end of the season with a smile on your face. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.